Hello, friends. Thank you for tuning in to our weekly podcast from First United Methodist Church of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I'm Drew Shelley, one of the pastors here. It is our hope and prayer that the message you hear today will help you connect deeply with the love of God we know in Jesus. Also, we'd love to connect with you so that we can share life and faith together. If you'd like more information about this church family, or if you want us to contact you, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at FUMC Borough. If you're looking for a place to belong, we have that place for you in one of our classes or small groups, as a part of one of our mission teams, or in either our modern or traditional worship services, which both meet at 10:15 on Sunday mornings. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the idea of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him for the transformation of Murfreesboro and the world. We hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Jesus in your life. Well, I would like to invite you just to kiss your brain one time. Thank you, Maggie. I think that was Maggie. Yes, thank you. I did not know that you could kiss your brain until the children's moment, and I'm so excited to know that. I got really tickled about that. I think that's a good plan. It helps us to remember, and I have been wanting to share something with you, and I'm remembering today. Every Sunday morning at 8:30, there is a group of folks who gathers in the narthex and prays for everything that happens on Sunday. And so if you are here for Sunday school or want to get here a little early, we would love to have you in that circle. Sometimes we have 8 or 10, sometimes we have 20 or 30, and it's just a gift to pray together for the opportunity of Sunday morning to invite God's presence and to invite the Holy Spirit to be with us. We pray together, and then we split up, and we pray in the sanctuary, we pray in this sanctuary, we pray in the Sunday school rooms and hallways, so that everything that happens in this place is covered by God's Spirit. So know that that is available to you and that you are invited to be a part of that work. Our gospel lesson this morning is from Luke's gospel, the 22nd chapter, verses 54 through 62. Let us hear the word of God. Now this is after the betrayal and arrest of Jesus near the end. Then they seized Jesus and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You also are one of them," one of Jesus' disciples. But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then, about an hour later, still another kept insisting, "Surely this man also was with Jesus, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Whew, Peter fails Jesus so badly here, doesn't he? It is an epic fail. We know about failures too, don't we? We know a lot about failure. When I was in college, my friend TJ and I led our American Society of Civil Engineers trip to Miami, Florida for the Southeastern Regional Competition. It was a big deal, very big deal. We had about 40 college students in our charge as we made that trip down to Miami by van and bus. The first night there, they all wanted to go eat at that restaurant, who shall go unnamed, but whose name rhymes with Reuters, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay? They all wanted to go to Reuters to eat. People say their wings are good, but I'll have to say that's probably not why most people go to Reuters. It's not for the wings. I don't think that's why people go there. Anyhow, I was just glad that our 40 semi-sober children wanted to stay together, because I was really living through a nightmare. I thought, we're going to lose some of these people in Miami, and I'll never get them back, and I'll have to answer to their mamas about where they are and what they've been doing. So off we go to that place called Reuters. I was very quiet while we were there. I ate in shame. Somebody made a picture of me ordering. I was turned looking at the waitress who was standing right there. It was just as bad as you can imagine, really. I had to sneak into his hotel room in the middle of the night, get his camera, and delete that picture for fear of incriminating evidence. It was just awful. You know, the food was really awful. The cost was ridiculous. The key lime pie was not even that good. And the service was bad. They kind of made fun of all of us. We were kind of hillbillies, and they just wore us out the whole time. It was not a good experience. I was just glad it was over. The next morning, Shannon called me. Shannon, we were dating at the time. She was my girlfriend. And Shannon said, "What did y'all do for supper last night?" I said, "Well, we ate." She said, "What did you eat?" I said, "Well, just a little of this and a little of that." She said, "Where did you go?" Now, right there, I had two choices, you know. Where did you go? I could tell the truth and get in trouble, or I could lie and see what happens. So naturally, when she said, "Where did you go for supper?" I said, "We went to McDonald's." I got a number two with no onions and a Dr. Pepper, same as I always get. "You went to McDonald's, did you?" "Yeah, I went to McDonald's. You know, we like McDonald's. We just wanted something light, just to go to McDonald's. It's always a good place." She said, "Well, that's funny. I'm sitting here with Lindsay, TJ's girlfriend, and she says TJ went to Reuters last night. She says you were there too. You know how I feel about that place." And I said, "Well, now some of them went to Reuters, and some of us went to McDonald's, and some of us went to another place, and we just kind of spread it around." I tried to explain. It just got worse the more I talked. She finally said, "Now listen, I don't care that you went to Reuters. I can't believe that you lied. That you lied to me." Now, up until then, I was okay. All right, I've been in trouble a lot of times. I really don't mind it all that much. I can take a chewing, I can take a paddling. I've been pulled over 32 times for bad driving. Blue lights don't even make me anxious anymore, okay? I keep my driver's license and registration on a clipboard so I can just hand it out to the... I don't get bothered by getting in a little trouble. It's just not something that gets to me. But then she dropped the D word on me. The D word. She said, "I am just so disappointed in you." Boom, she hung up the phone. It was 4 days before we talked again, because I was down there and she was up here. Oh my goodness. Failure comes in many flavors, doesn't it? Each one with its own level of bitterness. I remember when Shannon and I were moved from the Munford Church. I had been director of student ministries there for 3 years. We had a fun program, ages 0 to 18, Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights. It was great, high energy, lots of kids everywhere. We had even opened a preschool for children in the community who just had need of a place to stay during the day. We accomplished so much in that place. But I can tell you what we did not do. We did not equip the people to lead and grow that ministry. In my 27-year-old arrogance, when we left from there, I left a folder, just a folder, with an entire year's worth of programming laid out. All you had to do was exactly what I said for you to do. That's all. I didn't leave a team. I didn't leave a process. I didn't leave any people. I left a list. And you can imagine what happened after that. I failed them. I failed them as a pastor, as a leader, as a teacher. I didn't know any better. We all have failures. The truth is, we can't talk about following Jesus without talking about failure. Sometimes it is a failure of duty and obligation. Other times it is a moral failure that just discolors an entire chapter of our past. Peter's denial of Jesus is a whole lot of both, isn't it? We're surprised to find this great pillar of the early church painted in such a negative light. But we have to ask, is it really that bad? Is it really that bad? I mean, all the others have already R-U-N-N-O-F-T. Okay, they have left. All the others have left except the women and maybe John. Everybody else has run off. They're gone. Peter at least is close by. He might be slinking around in the darkness, but he's close at hand. Maybe he could help if he were needed. It isn't so bad until we hear the intensity of Peter's denial. Luke's telling of it is bad enough, but in Matthew's gospel, Matthew's account, Peter curses. He curses and says, "Man, I do not know what you're talking about. Woman, I do not know him. I don't know who that is." The rooster crows. Peter remembers, Jesus said, "I would do this. I told him I would not do this, and then I did it. I did it." Jesus looks down that courtyard into Peter's eyes. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the look on Jesus' face as he stares Peter down, Peter there by the fire? The penalty of sin is not to face the anger of Jesus. It is to face the heartbreak in his eyes. Failure. Followers of Jesus are real people. We fail, falter, and fumble all the time. That's just who we are. And sometimes we become so afraid of that failure that we shrink back. We shrink back from the call of discipleship so that we avoid the risk of that failure. Jesus calls us on some risky mission, and all we can think of is, what if I fail? What if I fail? What if I get lazy? What if my past sneaks up on me again? What if I just can't do it? What if I let people down? What if I fail? But here's the real question. What if we don't try? What if we don't try? It's the same outcome. Failing or doing nothing, only there is no hope when you don't try. To try is to hope. It is to believe the best about each other and about ourselves. It is to trust that God's call comes with grace and power and hope. What if we don't try? We fail. And the cycle continues, doesn't it? At the heart of this broken cycle driving so many of us further away from following Jesus is that D word again, isn't it? Disappointment. We don't want to disappoint anybody, certainly not God. What is at the heart of our struggle with disappointment? Is it not that the fear that after too many disappointments we might be found unlovable and worthless, that we might prove that lie we sometimes tell ourselves about how inconsequential we really are? I can say for myself that at the heart of my own fear of failure is that one too many disappointments and God won't be able to love me anymore. That's at the heart of mine. At least that's what I think right now. It is such a lie. It is the opposite of the gospel. I know that in my mind. I know that in my heart. And still, there it sits whispering in my ear, complacency as a safety net. Complacency as a safety net. But look at what happens to Peter. He is so broken by this failure. He weeps bitterly. Jesus dies and is buried. The third day he rises from the dead. The angel at the tomb says, go and tell my disciples, and be sure and tell Peter. Go and tell my disciples and Peter. Then we have a resurrected Jesus teaching his disciples along the Sea of Galilee. He hangs back after class one day with Peter to do a little soul work. Do you remember that scene? He says, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, Peter, feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Peter, tend my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, Peter, feed my sheep. Get back to work. I love you too. That's what Jesus says. Jesus raises Peter from the dead. Jesus responds to Peter's failure and disappointment with such tenderness, such love, and such restoration. Is it not the same response that he offers to each of us in the midst of our failures? You see, because of Jesus' grace-filled response, Peter failed forward. As powerful, as painful as his experience was, as soul-crushing of a failure as he made, he encountered a depth of God's love and grace that he had never known before, and it changed his life forever. Now, like Paul, I want to be clear. I am not saying go out and sin boldly that grace may abound. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when you hear the voice of God whisper some new adventure in your ear, try, go, do. Let's not let our fear of disappointment and failure keep us on the sidelines of God's mission. We will fail. We will disappoint. We will let each other down. But God always, always, always picks us up together, dusts us off, and says, let's try that again. Let's try that again. That's how the gospel works. In Jesus, we trade in our codependent, very broken kind of a love, bathed in fear and disappointment, for a love that is complete, a love that is not dependent upon our own failures or our own accomplishments. It is a love that gathers up the broken mess of life and turns it into real life, raised from the dead, infused with hope and power to make a difference in the world. After we returned from that fateful trip to Florida, Shannon and I sat in silence under a tree on campus not far from where we first met. I was brokenhearted at what I knew my failure would cost me. After a long time, I finally said, I'm so sorry. I guess we are done. I guess we are done. She put her head on my shoulder. She took my hand, and she whispered the most grace-filled words a man has ever heard. She said, oh, my Drewy. You can't call me that, but she can. She said, oh, my Drewy, we are just beginning. So it is with the gospel. So it is with Jesus. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Oh, God, we give you thanks that you love us. That you love us when we fail. You love us when we succeed. And everywhere in between, give us courage to face the future unafraid. Fill us up with hope and joy as we just seek to live the life you have given us to live and to follow you each and every day. We pray this in the name and power of your Son, Jesus, and together we say, Amen.